From the KSFR newsroom, At Noon looks at the top local news headlines for this Friday, July 12th. Getting underway today at Museum Hill in Santa Fe is the 10th Annual International Folk Art Market. It's the largest event of its kind in the world, featuring handmade works by 190 artists from 60 countries. Author Carmela Padilla has written a commemorative work chronicling the market since its beginnings and says the event was a surprise, instantaneous hit with the public right from the start.
At the time, the vision was very small, but that first year, we got an overwhelming response. We expected 3,000 visitors, and we ended up having close to 12,000 people come up to Museum Hill. I think there's an average now of about 20,000 people over a 21-hour period of time, and 60% of those people are from out of town, so it's become a destination event, an international destination. But, of course, many people are from Santa Fe and many people are from New Mexico.
The market runs through Sunday at Museum Hill. New Mexico's public schools have received their 2013 report cards and show overall improvement with letter grades higher than last year. Statewide, some 70% of schools maintained their grades or received higher ones. Gains were best for high schools. Here in Santa Fe, that was reflected in Capitol High moving from a D to a B, and Santa Fe High turning last year's C also into a B. Less impressive were grades for local elementary schools. Four of those earned Fs, as opposed to just one last year. In coming years, New Mexico may be poised to suffer from a lack of workers to fill new jobs here due to a lack of higher education. Such are the conclusions in a report by the Albuquerque Journal, noting that by 2020, our state will have 335,000 new job openings, but only some 150,000 members of the state's workforce will possess the requirements to fill the posts. The top employment sector is projected to be in mining and oil and gas extraction. The next two largest sectors are health care and social assistance and education services. The vast majority of all jobs will require some post-secondary education. Due to the arrival of summer rains, the New Mexico State Forestry Division today lifts its smoking, firework, campfire, and open fire restrictions across all New Mexico counties. Those restrictions were imposed in May on all non-municipal, non-federal, and non-tribal lands statewide due to extreme fire danger. The Santa Fe National Forest is among those moving back into lesser Stage 1 restrictions. Some areas will remain closed, however, due to recent wildfires and the potential now for flooding. The Forest Service advises that restrictions could be reimposed if hot and dry weather conditions return and thus increase fire dangers. Santa Fe and Felix Martinez, who pleaded guilty to involuntary manslaughter and evidence tampering in the shooting death last year of his brother David, has been sentenced to roughly 9 more months in lockup at the county jail. The crime has links to the February 2012 shooting death of Santa Fe artist Ethan Boyer. Authorities believe the late David Martinez shot Boyer during a burglary. The gun used in that instance is the same weapon that his brother later used in what he claimed was an act of self-defense. Martinez was officially sentenced Thursday to 7 years, with the judge suspending 5 of those and giving the defendant credit for 15 months served under monitoring. That Santa Fe Planning Commission hearing on the redevelopment of the vacant Manderfield Elementary School has been rescheduled for August 1st. Yesterday's event was canceled as residents of the Canyon Road neighborhood complained that the developers' plans had changed since introduced at earlier meetings. Claire and Michael Marist hope to turn the facility into a mixed-use cafe, art studio, and residential complex. Former New Mexico Governor David F. Cargo, who died last week at age 84, is being laid to rest. A funeral mass in Santa Fe today at the St. Francis Cathedral Basilica is followed by burial services at the National Cemetery. And weather for Santa Fe? Partly sunny today and through the weekend with daytime highs in the upper 80s. Each day brings a 30% chance for afternoon and evening thunderstorms. The monsoonal flow will strengthen by Monday, with better chances for daily showers, along with cooler temperatures in the upper 70s. Meanwhile, the current Santa Fe temperature, now 79 degrees. This is Dan Garrity for KSFR News at noon will continue in just a moment.
Santa Fe psychologist Dr. Penelope Penlin is pleased to help present KSFR programming. Dr. Penlin's diverse practice fosters the emergence of each person's authentic self in all domains of life. Like KSFR, she strives for thoughtful and independent inquiry to foster individual freedom and responsibility in the context of community. Dr. Penelope Penlin, 983-3990.
Getting underway today at Museum Hill in Santa Fe is the 10th Annual International Folk Art Market. It's the largest event of its kind in the world, and it features handmade works by artists from around the globe. And joining me now to talk about the International Folk Art Market is my KSFR Newsroom colleague, Marion Cox. Marion, you are the go-to girl on this because you've done extensive coverage in years past on this event. Why don't you share with the listeners some of your overriding impressions of the event itself?
Well, Dan, you're right. KSFR has been covering this market from the beginning. And along with everyone else in New Mexico and now increasingly around the world, we've seen this market grow in both size and prestige. It's clearly a world-class event, unrivaled anywhere, certainly in the U.S. And we did begin reporting extensively on both artists, the economics of the market for an artist, and even some of the growing pains that the market has gone through. Should we talk a little bit about some of those artists?
Yes. Specifically, you know, some of the information that I've gleaned about the folk art market is that of the sales that are generated there, they work very hard to make sure about 90% of the monies taken in go home with the artist. And that has a significant impact for many, many people. Many of these people are from countries where I understand the daily wage might only be $3 a day. What do you know about that aspect of the market?
In fact, during a series of interviews I conducted last year at the market in 2012, we did learn that statistic. 10% of all the sales proceeds from the market do go back to the organizers of the market. That's one statistic worth noting. 90% of the sale price of an individual artist's artwork goes back to the artist or not. And what I mean by that is in some instances, the entire 90% goes to the artist. But in some instances, the artist has been fronted some money to get here for their expenses. And if they've been a participant in the market in previous years and have made a good income out of it, they then are responsible for paying back, out of that 90% they get, paying back some or all of what a sponsor has helped them, the money that a sponsor has given them in order to get them here. In some instances, we are told anecdotally that some artists have to pay money to their own governments, and there are a variety of people along the way that have their hand out for some of that 90%.
Now, Marion, a moment ago you mentioned some growing pains. Let's get to that, but first, let's talk about attendance, what you've witnessed over the years, because as we've said at the beginning, this is a one-of-a-kind event here in Santa Fe every year. What do you see in terms of crowds? Does it grow in popularity each year?
Well, there's no question about that, and while I don't have the same sorts of statistics at my disposal that the market organizers would have, there's no question that the numbers of people that come every year have risen dramatically, and the market has taken advantage of that. If you want to put upfront money, sometimes $15, $25, $75, you can get preferential treatment in terms of entrance into the market. All weekend long, we're going to be seeing people that are either early birders or people that got in a day early. And then as you wind down to a Sunday, you begin to see people being able to get in for vastly reduced amounts of money or for free. But the bottom line is that the numbers of people coming allow the market to charge some of those varying fees. There's no question that the transportation to and from the market and the actual people that mill around, the crowds that are there, have just simply grown dramatically over the last 10 years. And that's something that the market organizers are rightfully quite proud of.
And what would you describe as some of the bumps that have been experienced as the entire enterprise has grown?
Well, we really started covering individual artists and their situations going back to like 2008. And we talked to artists in 2008 and 2009 who were coming to the market, were finding that they could actually pay for fundamental food, clothing, and shelter needs of their families based on what they were getting out of the market. So it was a really good news story. And it still is a good news story for artists, for the state of New Mexico, for retail establishments in Santa Fe that host all the visitors and artists that are here. But by 2010, the market was beginning to experience some growing pains. That year, we interviewed Santa Fe residents who were speaking out really for the first time, at least to KSFR, saying they felt like they were being priced out of the market, that the cost of attending the market, that the cost of the actual crafts and goods and artwork were just increasing exponentially. We also interviewed some of the food vendors that are a major attraction for the international market. They felt they were being marginalized by the market organizers. Market organizers, for example, began taking over the concession to sell water. Well, to you and I, that might seem like nothing. It was one of the biggest money makers for the vendors. The vendors were being required to pay licensing fees to participate that were vastly greater than they were in the early years. So the vendors themselves felt that they were perhaps being used a little bit, because one of the big calling cards for the market is that you don't just come and see great art, but you get this wealth of indigenous and ethnic food. So there were a few bumps in the road. But, you know, as time has gone on, again in 2011 and 2012, we saw some fabulous things going on at the market, and we're really not hearing the same sorts of complaints.
And we're also hearing anecdotal reports that Santa Fe is bustling with people who have come in expressly for this event. Will you also be attending this year?
I will be attending, and I will be looking for some of those kind of off-the-wall stories. We had the funniest story I think I've ever reported from the market when we went up to the Lost and Found booth 2 years ago, and the people that were manning that booth had some hysterical stories about what people were losing and what they were finding at the market. So we'll hope we find something really fun to report.
Well, I'm sure I will see you sometime soon here in the KSFR newsroom, but in the meantime, many thanks for joining us by phone here at noon on KSFR.
Thanks, Dan. Great talking to you.
Santa Fe has just experienced the two driest years on record, and the drought is not going away. In times like these, we have to save every drop. One way is to water during the cool part of the day. If you water when it's hot, the water evaporates, plants can burn, and you could be fined. Under city rules, you cannot water between 10 a.m. and 6 p.m. from May 1st to October 31st. So, water when it's cool outside. It's better for your garden. It's better for our water future. And it's the law. A message from the City of Santa Fe.
KSFR's Music Cafe series continues with A New York State of Mind, featuring New York musicians Michael Morreale on trumpet and Tony Ragusas piano, with Andy Zadrozny and John Trinacosta. Saturday, July 20th, 7 p.m. at the Museum Hill Cafe. To reserve your seat, call 428-1527. That's 428-1527 for a great evening of jazz as New York comes to New Mexico on July 20th.
18 minutes past the hour here at KSFR as At Noon continues with today's feature stories. Homelessness in New Mexico has been a long-standing problem. A federal program that was supposed to help those with low income get access to housing now sits unfunded, and a lawsuit has been filed to remedy the situation. Hank Hughes is the executive director of the New Mexico Coalition to End Homelessness, and he joins us now. Hank, just how big a problem is homelessness in our state?
Well, that's a good question, and we don't have super good information on that, but there's a couple indicators. One is that we did a point-in-time count in January and found 3,000 people who were either sleeping outside or in shelters. And also the schools do a count throughout the year, and they last year found that there were 12,000 children throughout the year who experienced homelessness. So it's a pretty big problem.
That's 12,000 homeless children just in our state?
That's just in New Mexico.
There is a federal program called the National Housing Trust Fund that's supposed to help with the homeless and near homeless. Tell us about that fund.
So So the National Housing Trust Fund is set up specifically to build and operate housing for the very lowest income people. So that includes people who are homeless and people who are almost homeless. And their definition of very low income or extremely low income is people who make less than 30% of the median income for their community.
And how much money is in the fund now?
There's never been any money put into the National Housing Trust Fund because the money was supposed to come from the profits of Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. And right after this act was passed, those basically went into receivership because they were about to go bankrupt and had to be rescued by the federal government.
Isn't it true that both those entities are now doing okay?
Actually, they're doing more than okay. They're back to being very profitable. And so the National Low Income Housing Coalition, which is the group that promoted the trust fund, is now suing them, saying that it's time for them to start making contributions out of their profits toward the National Housing Trust Fund.
Is it possible for other sources to contribute to the trust fund?
Well, there isn't at the moment. We're working on another way to get it funded, but there isn't at the moment.
And what are you doing to try and bolster aid to the homeless?
One of the things that we're working on is that we're working with the National Low Income Housing Coalition on a United for Homes campaign, where we're trying to get our congressmen and senators to really pay attention to this problem and actually come up with another source of funding by reforming the tax code or whatever they want in order to fund the National Housing Trust Fund. So, you know, listeners could contact our senators and our representatives and ask them to support the United for Homes campaign.
What other programs are available to help?
The government's current biggest program for the homeless is something called the Continuum of Care program, and it's funding to help house and provide services to the homeless. And that provides about $8 million to New Mexico from the federal government, and that's the biggest source. And that funds around 60 different programs in New Mexico that house and help the homeless. And that program is very successful, but it's just not enough.
Anything else you'd like us to know about?
The United for Homes campaign is a campaign to reform the mortgage interest deduction and basically limit the deduction to people who are middle class or lower and take the savings from that and put that toward the National Housing Trust Fund. And so the idea is that people who have mortgages of $500,000 or less would still get the tax benefit, but above that, people probably don't need it, and that money would be better spent on the National Housing Trust Fund. This is a program that would bring in even more money than Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, and it would bring in about $200 billion over 10 years.
Hank Hughes with the New Mexico Coalition to End Homelessness. Many thanks for joining us here at noon on KSFR, which will continue in just a moment.
Ebullient mezzo-soprano Susan Graham performs a title role of Jacques Offenbach's riotously funny The Grand Duchess of Gerolstein this summer at the Santa Fe Opera. All's fair in love and war games at the Gerolstein Military Academy, with its dashing uniformed cadets and apple-cheeked local sweethearts cheering them on, with the Academy's patroness, the Grand Duchess herself, in sexy pursuit. Far from being a lady of a certain age, this Grand Duchess is an amorous aristocrat with an eye for Fritz, her favorite young cadet, sung by the dynamic American tenor Paul Appleby. Soprano Anya Matanovic completes the love triangle. Emmanuel Villaume conducts. The Santa Fe Opera's Grand Duchess of Gerolstein promises lots of laughter and fun. Learn more about this production and the entire upcoming season by visiting santafeopera.com or by calling 800-280-4654. That's 800-280-4654. This message is sponsored by the Santa Fe Opera, a tax-exempt organization.
1224 here at KSFR. Earlier today, KSFR News reporter Charles Maynard spoke with our Congressman Ben Ray Luan about action in the House this week which has affected New Mexicans. Charles files this report.
This morning, KSFR News spoke with Representative Ben Ray Luan of New Mexico's 3rd Congressional District. He spoke first about the Farm Bill.
Sadly, our Republican colleagues did something this year to the Farm Bill that hasn't been done in a long time to the United States in decades, and that was pit the food programs against the farmers and ranchers. And I think some of my colleagues said it best. They grow this great food that we have so that we're able to eat it, and especially making sure that we're looking after those that are in a tough place and less advantage than others, but those that are hungry. And we know recently that New Mexico's kids were deemed the hungriest in the country. And so what Republicans did was they separated the SNAP programs, the food programs, out of the legislation, which devastates programs that helps those that are most in need, in addition to the food depots. And this is just a very bad thing. It was a bad day on the floor yesterday. It was the first time in decades that this has been such a partisan bill.
He notes the bill also was harmful to our state's dairy farmers.
In addition to the attack that we saw Republicans take to the poor across America, to hungry kids, to our seniors, and to the food depots, this legislation also really does nothing to help the dairies here in New Mexico. And so, you know, even at that, from that perspective, with the dairies all around New Mexico, southern New Mexico, and in the first congressional district and the second and third, this is not what they were looking for some support. So, you know, they stripped the work that would have been done and that was brought together by a bipartisan group to attack the dairies, and now also attacking the less fortunate amongst us around the United States.
He's concerned about the future of the Farm Bill.
Republicans have said that to trust them, that they'll bring back these food programs for the poor. But to date, the Paul Ryan budget shows that they attacked these programs. Now the Farm Bill shows that they've attacked these programs. The whole storyline from Governor Mitt Romney when he was running against President Obama, that 47% of the country doesn't matter. It seems that the storyline all fits, sadly, for many of my Republican colleagues. I'm hopeful that we can still look to the United States Senate, to Senator Udall and to Senator Stabenow to fight to get these food programs put back in place and to fight for local areas all across the country that were left out of this bad Republican House Farm Bill.
On another topic, Congressman Lujan spoke about student loan interest rates.
Yet again, our House Republican colleagues are playing games here. And what intrigued me when we last looked at this, this last week, there were articles written that it was the Republicans in the House that were looking to try to fix the student loan issue. Well, let me tell you what they're trying to do. As of right now, the student loan interest rates, the federal student loan interest rate has doubled from 3.4% to 6.8%. And that means real money coming out of the pockets of students. What Republicans are trying to do is to tie the interest rates on student loans that will reset every year based on the 10-year Treasury note, which sounds okay. But here's what happens. The caps that are being talked about even now with some of these groups, and at least they're talking about putting a cap where they weren't talking about that anymore so that there'd be a ceiling where these students would hit. Even if nothing was done after the student loan interest rates doubled, the fix that they're proposing is still worse, because the maximum amount that students would have to pay is a little more than $10,000 in interest payments under the Republican bill, $4,100 if rates were kept at the current rate of 3.4%, or $8,800 if rates are allowed to double, which they have, to 6.8%. So even under their plan to fix this, they're still making this worse. And so students across the country that are either looking to go to college that are going to be dependent on federal student loans, or those that are receiving federal student loans, need to pay attention to this. And I want to encourage them, not only here in New Mexico, but around the United States. They need to contact their members of the United States House of Representatives and the United States Senate, and please demand that this be fixed.
Congressman Ben Ray Lujan from New Mexico's 3rd District.
We talk about all the programs that we work together that do such a great job, the Food Depot in Santa Fe, Kitchen Angels, who does such a remarkable job. Look, these are programs, the Roadrunner Food Bank, that right now, based on the bill and the legislation, are under so much uncertainty. How are they going to possibly be able to plan out and look towards future planning to be able to make sure they're feeding the most unfortunate amongst us? And we need to reach out across the country and demand that this be fixed. This attack on poor people, on those that are less fortunate amongst us, around the United States, is something that many of my colleagues have never seen before, and we can't allow this to stand. So the important issues that we dealt with the Congress this week, some of the deepest partisan fights that we saw come out of our Republican colleagues, and I'm certainly hopeful that we can work together to change this, because this is not good for the country. It's not healthy with this attack on the poor amongst us all around the United States that sadly our Republican House colleagues have launched.
For KSFR News, I'm Charles Maynard.
And taking a look at Wall Street at midday, investors seem to be taking a break from yesterday, wherein the Dow and the S&P 500 both reached all-time highs. The current look at the big board shows the Dow off 32 points at 15,428, the NASDAQ up 9 at 3,587, and the S&P 500 off just less than a point, and it stands at 1,674. Coming up on 12:30, here at the bottom of the hour, it is our custom to spend 60 seconds with our resident curmudgeon, Christopher Hagen.
I really am going to have to learn to control my mouth a little better. Not much has changed since first grade when I had my mouth taped shut on my birthday for talking when I shouldn't have. I know the lady at the Whole Foods Olive Bar heard me when, after she picked up a cheese sample and put it into her mouth and then licked her fingers, and then picked up an olive with the same saliva-soaked fingers, I said, "I can't believe you did that." She feigned not hearing me. I know she did. Then there was a person in the bulk food section who filled up a plastic bag with cashews, but the person didn't tie the bag, which I thought kind of strange. Using the unobtrusive surveillance skills I learned in the CIA, I followed the person around the store as one half of the cashews was consumed. Not only was the person stealing, but eating the cashews with hands touching the grocery cart handle, which, in my opinion, was nuts, or cashew. God bless you. For KSFR, I'm Christopher Hagen.
And with that, we'll conclude this edition of At Noon, KSFR's extended noon news hour. Dan Garrity with you here at the news desk, with many thanks to my contributing colleagues today, Marion Cox and Charles Maynard. We'll be back Monday with more news of and for New Mexico for you, and as always, we hope you join us.